Hello. My name's Henry. I'm looking for a job.
I'm sorry, but we have no jobs here for you.
The Jimmy and Luke Show.
I'm from Florida.
Wait, what episode is this again?
It's such a terrible movie.
The show is awful.
Broadcasting live across the internet. This is the final season of the Jimmy and Luke Show.
Ready, go! Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to JL Show
236.
JL 236. This is your host, and I'm not made for this. We are your hosts, Killian Byrne and Lucien Moore Daily, live in the night hour. Here we go. The song is called "Lose Yourself." Next track on the album. What's up, everybody? This is DJ Kenny K on the night note. 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock, we're way high, riding high, playing tunes from across the globe, west, east, south, and north. Here we go. Lucy, what you have to say to that? Yeah, we're gonna get in some texts now. Text all the texts. What do you prefer with a meal? Fizzy water or still water? Getting a text in now from Gerald in North Lancaster. Gerald, what you gonna say? He says, well, when I'm eating fizzy water. Oh, fuck this. I don't know what we're done.
John Burton.
How do you do it?
Mary McAleese. Mary McAleese.
Oh yeah, I'll be Pat Kenny and you
okay.
Be.
Because I can do all the candidates this year. So.
Right. Okay. What will be your predominant policy in the?
John Burton. Yeah.
No, it's Pat Kenny.
But who are you interviewing?
I don't know. Niall O'Toole. How are you?
Oh, I can't do it.
Okay. Tommy Houlihan.
No, one of the. Okay, I can do Tommy.
Tommy Houlihan. Hello. What is your predominant policy that you will propose and?
Well, Pat, to be honest with you, it's all about the water.
Water that we drink or the water that we bathe in.
They're both the same water, Pat. And we won't pay.
No, I do not drink the water I bathe in. I drink my water from the tap.
It all comes from the same place, Pat. And we're not paying any of it. We're not paying a single cent.
Well, what if you want to buy bottled water from the streets?
I won't do it. It's all a scam by the government. The red hats
but
are coming.
I don't know what a scam is. Can you explain to myself and the audience what a scam is?
Put it quite simply, Pat. A scam is the Fine Gael Labour Coalition. That's a scam. It's the simplest scam you'll ever see. These are people who came to the government telling us they're going to help our country, and then they put us austerity. There's a woman in Akakara. She put a hairdryer to bed to keep herself warm. You know what happened to her, Pat? She burned to death.
But that was her fault for her negligence.
No, she had no central heating in the house, Pat. She was freezing to cold death because the dole was cut. The Christmas bonus was cut completely.
That is quite an incredible story, Pat. Tommy. my name is.
Put it down for a second.
Okay, another question for you, Tommy. Let me think. I'm reading a prompter now. Who is your favourite? If you were to vote in the election, who would you vote for?
Well, I have to be honest with you now. Pat.
Apart from yourself.
Well, Pat, I'd vote Tommy Houlihan, number one.
I said apart from yourself.
Well,
please
Pat,
answer my questions Pat, properly or you will be beaten by the fucking security guards.
Pat, I believe the Broadcasting Authority will not allow you to swear on the airwaves. So.
I don't give a fuck about your fucking rules. Okay, I've just got a fucking message from my fucking producer. I'm fired. Well, we're gonna continue with the fucking interview anyway, you fuck. What is your fucking favorite fucking candidate? Who is your fucking favorite candidate? Please answer the fucking.
Well, I would suggest all the people of Galway West vote for me and the candidate.
I
number
said,
one.
Apart from yourself.
Well, I would vote for another left
who
candidate.
Is, I said, apart from yourself, who is your favorite and why would you vote for them?
I would vote for any candidate who wants to abolish Irish water, so that is Niall O'Toole.
But you can't.
Or.
You can't simply just abolish water. It makes up for so much of our atmosphere and the world we live
and
in.
Is, and that is why we should be getting it for free. It is God's gift to man. We should
but
be getting it for free.
We can't abolish water. We need it to live.
Exactly, which is why it should be free for everyone who needs to survive, and they should get free money to pay for their heating too.
Well, let's take it back a notch. You said moments ago that water should be abolished. I don't know how you're going to do that, seeming as 70% of the Earth's crust is composed of water.
I'm sorry, Pat. I didn't say...
Not composed, rather, but consists of...
Pat, if you let me finish my answer.
Shut up.
I didn't say water should be abolished. I said that Irish water, the cooperation, should be abolished. It is a waste of money.
We need water to live, Pat. I mean, Charlie.
Pat, I think it's about time you moved on to the next question.
Next question it is. Benji, how do you feel about that man?
I don't want to vote for him. I don't.
He sounds more like Dom a little bit.
Benji, you know, please answer the question eloquently so the audience can understand.
I don't know how.
That actually sounds more like... voice I was just doing actually sounds more like Tommy.
No, you can't.
Pat, to be honest with you, it's about the water.
Oh, that sounds much more like Tommy. I should have been doing that all along.
Pat, to be honest with you, it's
about... this also sounds like Tommy, but a different kind of Tommy.
Yes.
Wow, look Tommy who knows about comedy and balls and Mickeys.
Oh, yeah, interview me.
Okay, who am I going to be? I can't do Pat. Oh, I can do Gay Byrne, okay.
Give me a gar.
No, okay.
Okay.
No, you're Gay Byrne's
I can do Gay or I can do George. My George is better, as we know.
I can do Gay, too.
Yeah, but see, my George is visible and there's people staring at me right now who I don't want to lose the respect of, so...
Dude,
who saw me? Who saw me, Callie? He's hidden behind the thing.
Oh, fuck off. Just do it. Fuck into the thing.
We're dying now on the show by Tommy Tiernan, award-winning comedian. Tommy, who are you voting for in the election?
Sounds like
great to meet you, George. Well, to be honest, I don't really know. I mean, politicians are a lot of fucking wankers anyway. So, like, I suppose I'll probably just go with my Mickey.
Well, Tommy, I appreciate your Galway humor. Here in Cork, we take politics very seriously. What candidate would you like to endorse in the general election tomorrow morning?
Well, let me tell you a bit about...
Seamus Sheridan is who he's endorsing. So.
Let me tell you a bit about Seamus Sheridan.
He makes cheese for a living.
He makes cheese for a living. And do you know what? Christmas time comes around every year. And what do I love to do when I'm sitting at home with my legs up at the fire? Wine and cheese. Tommy Tiernan... Tommy Hoolan is a fucking wanker. Look at his Mickey. It's so herniated and small. Sheridan has a cheese dick. So, you know, wine and cheese. Wine and cheese is what I love. So, you know, I'm going to vote for Sheridan. That's my answer.
All right, thank you, Tommy. And you need to tell us about your tour.
No, you're that's just...
You have to tell us about your tour.
Doing the full thing.
You have to tell us about your tour.
I want to do the face, so I'm just doing a Brian Cowan and doing a bit of course.
Okay.
See, Brian Cowan talks like this. The local recovery. We are Irish people. Going forward.
You know, Brian Cowan, that's how he talks.
Yeah.
Teach us the line.
And then Enda. Hello, I'm Enda Kenny.
Enda Kenny. I'm Enda Kenny. And this is water, and we need a drink to be alive.
People of Ireland, we have to keep the recovery going. If you would like to keep your jobs. And then Micheál Martin.
If you would like to keep your jobs.
No, that's
what it is. That is.
And then Micheál Martin is a man from Cork. And he's
in a butthole.
Micheál Martin is very concerned about all the issues.
Mary McAleese. Hello, my name is Mary McAleese.
Micheál Martin is very concerned.
Mary McAleese.
That's more Mary Robinson than McAleese, I think.
Little.
You're being stared at.
Let's do oh shit.
He's staring at that.
He's off. He's staring at the pole.
I don't think. Why would anyone stare at the pole? There's nothing to see on the pole.
Yeah, daydreaming, you fuck.
Anyway, I'm not gonna. Yeah, let's be less animated in our visual appearance. Anyway, you see, so Brian Lennon. Yeah, so then and then end is like. What was I doing? Micheál Martin. He's a Cork man. He's very concerned about all of the issues in the campaign. Micheál Martin. I would like to say the Irish people should not be getting this recovery. Should be getting a fairer recovery that affects everybody equally. That gives jobs to the poor, jobs to the rich, and takes taxes from people like Paul Byrne and gives them to people like Tommy Hoolan.
Paul Byrne.
Paul Byrne should be paying higher taxes. That's why I'm voting Social Democrats.
Paul Byrne is a great man.
Paul Byrne is a great man.
maybe he may be a great man, is all. But he needs to pay more tax. He needs to give his bit to the Irish people, who have serviced him so well as he built up his corporation and made a master fortune of an abundance of riches.
Are you going to say that salary?
What was I going to say? Okay. Yeah, and then Joan Burton is,
"Hi, it's Joan Burton."
No, I can't do it. I can't do it loudly. I can't do it very loudly.
"Hi, it's Joan Burton."
Oh, God, that's awful. That's not anything like
that. I guess what she said.
It's far too deep.
"Joan! Joan Burton is..."
"Joan Burton?"
No, no, she talks in a really high voice. Like,
"Hello, my name is Gabrielle Atlin." Oh, that's so good.
Do you have, like, conversations with yourself at night? Like, Kellyanne, are you, like, to a voice?
Yeah,
like,
sometimes, yeah. A lot of the time. Yeah, what do you?
No. Oh, I can't do myself. I can't get myself as Gabriel. I have
conversations. Oh, no, yeah, no, I don't do that. That's weird. That's weird as shit.
Like, I have conversations with myself as George Trump.
I conversations with myself as like, Sidious and deep voices.
"George, will you take a selfie with me?"
"Of course I will."
Anyway,
that's weird.
And then our fourth leader is Jerry Adams. Jerry Adams.
The ephemeral bliss.
You should do Wednesday words in ephemeral. Like, Byzantium.
Ephemeral.
Ephemeral Byzantium.
Chutzpah.
Ephemeral Byzantium Chutzpah.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to write that down, okay. Can you do a Jerry Adams?
"Here today, gone tomorrow."
Who's Jerry Adams?
You don't know Jerry Adams?
No. Is he a politician?
He's Jerry Adams.
Who is Jerry Adams?
The leader of Sinn Féin.
I don't know. Who's he?
Jesus Christ. Okay, well, he's an ex-terrorist, basically. He's the leader of Sinn Féin. He could very well be Taoiseach this time next week. You should, but, you know, he's got a beard. God, you should know Jerry.
Oh, Adams. Really hairy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's James Riley, I think. Wait, what are the three words?
Ephemeral, Byzantium.
Byzantine.
Oh, well, yeah, okay, we could do that too. Yeah.
Byzantine is the word, so they have to be real words. See? Byzantine.
Oh, yeah. Byzantium, then.
There you go, Chutzpah. Very nice.
Oh, ephemeral Byzantine. Oh, that's nice.
It's gonna be nice. Should do Thursday words. No.
No!
What I do is...
What's chutzpah? What's that?
It's like a literary term. It's like, you've got quite a chutzpah for yourself. It's like when you dig a hole for yourself.
Ephemeral.
But like you,
What could that mean? I actually thought the subhuman superficial, electoral superficiality thing.
Electoral superficiality, yeah.
Yeah, is it not electoral?
Electoral.
I thought that was a Donald Trump reference.
No.
But it could be.
None of them are references. It could be, but none of them are references. They're all just nice words that I like. I mean, I included the word electoral because it's topical, but
yeah.
It wasn't related to any particular person. Speaking of which, this is the JL show. This is our election coverage. Brought to you all week by...
Yeah, well, half of it, because I'm not doing shit.
Brought to you all week by Bank of Ireland. No.
It's illegal.
No. Brought to you all week by Hyundai. Hyundai, believe everything you hear.
Yeah, good enough, good enough. Hyundai are now sponsoring the Catholic Church. Hyundai, believe everything you hear.
Hyundai, the best is yet to come.
Guys, No. Hyundai sponsors the Catholic Church.
Michael and Dobie have joined us now on the Pat Kenny Show. Election
Hello,
special.
Where is Michael gone? Probably to buy some grub.
We had interviews with Tommy Tiernan.
Wow! This is Tommy Tiernan, and today I want to talk about my Mickey. Yes, and it's so large and big, I can't even fit it in my wife or my divorcee.
We had Tommy Tiernan, we had Tommy Houlihan, we had Micheál Martin, and George Trump.
Who's this young chap?
We're doing a Pat Kenny episode for the election coverage. Okay. He does a top class Pat Kenny.
Go on.
We interview.
Hello, well, look at this beautiful foil. Oh, wow.
Savage Eye.
Yeah, the Pierre Morgan show. Yeah. It's the same one, yeah. He goes, stop playing with that toy.
He's like, why is he in the digger? The digger is not camouflaged. And then he tries to shove it into things. Stop that.
Stop that.
Stop that.
Yeah.
And then grabs it off.
Like, Brian Coward. Brian Coward is a... show. It was still on. It's on in the summer. Brian Coward is a man who cannot talk because he had a potato on his face.
Nice,
looking by the eyes. Chilling, chilling.
Tomorrow is
Friday.
Tomorrow.
In the Friday, no do that eating, do that the
I'm sorry.
What? Tomorrow is...
Somebody apologizes for laughing at a joke.
Yeah, I know.
What? I'm not doing the 1%.
No, fuck you!
Michael, remember the last thing we were talking about? I'm not doing the 1%.
And we have it on tape.
Oh, shit! That was fiery.
Yeah.
Demoted Owen, just so you can touch his forehead.
That's stupid. It's a two-way street.
Yeah. But she touched my heart as well.
I feel like Dobby might delete the recording.
That's like a thing. Better.
It's a brisk winter's morning. It's still pretty dark, even though it's 6:50 a.m. now. But the sun hasn't come up at all, so it's very dark, very quiet. I like to be out this time of morning. And, well, I'm walking to my nearest polling station to cast my vote. And I only turned 18 last year, so this is actually my first ever contribution to the Irish democratic process. Very exciting. I mean, if I wasn't excited, why would I get up at 6:30 to vote when I could do it at any point today? So, hopefully you're going to get to hear the entire exciting experience. Although, I am earlier than I planned. Polling station doesn't open for at least 9 minutes, if that. But I expected the walkover to take me a bit longer. So the polling station that they use is a primary school that closes for the day. I was here last year because the marriage referendum was on in May, and I came along with my family to watch them vote to show my support for the Yes Equality campaign. That guy thinks I'm crazy now. I'm gonna cut this recording a little short just for now.
Good morning.
Fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, if you're not here, the numbers before mine start with here, so I'll just check them.
You drop the fact that it's both here.
One of the first people in County Galway, in Galway West South Carolina constituency, to cast my vote. I have voted. I have voted wisely. I went number one down to number 10, and I left. So there were 20 people on the ballot, and I left 10 of them blank.
That's you're playing it back.
So, Michael, it's 8:18 a.m.
Yeah.
We are 1 hour, 18 minutes into voting.
Yeah.
GE16.
Yeah.
I voted, you voted.
Yeah.
This is a very exciting day, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I think we're the only two people who have voted.
Oh, I'd say we're definitely the only two people who have voted. There is no way. I mean, do you think there's any, like, teachers here who have voted yet?
No.
Yeah.
Maybe personally. Because
he's passionate. No, was my solid one?
It was in the school. Like, it was just, like, up the road.
Yeah, mine was in the school.
Beside the church. I just, you know, casually walked in. I was in and out in about 2.5 minutes.
I had to wait outside for, like, 5 or 6 minutes. And then they said... she was like, while you're waiting, where are you from? I was like, the links. She was like, going on the back. I was like, yeah, that's where I went for a marriage rep. My parents went. And then I went down there, and the guy in front of me said he lived on Old Clybourne Road, and they looked on all the papers, and they couldn't find his address anywhere. And he was like, I don't have time to be waiting around, you know. He definitely wanted to vote for Tommy Houlihan. He was getting pretty upset. So they were like, all right, you, and... And I got a massive ass piece of paper. Did you have to bring ID? Did you show ID?
No.
I did. Did you have a poll? You had a polling card. I didn't have one.
I was like a boss, like a pro.
Apparently, like at least half of Galway didn't get the polling cards.
Really?
Yeah. Because tons of people were complaining to Mikey Covers.
You alright? What's up?
Hey boy!
Hey nigga!
So that's the end of our election day special.
I just
turned it on. This is the end of our election day.
With me. 10 seconds.
It's the end of our election day special. We'll be back next week with the results.
Results.
If you want to follow the results of the weekend, you can follow at Revolutionary on Twitter. I will be.
No one's gonna do that.
I was reading the New York Times yesterday.
As you do.
As you do.
As you do.
Very sophisticated.
Anyway, very corrupt. This article. This is like Bishop in America. And he's like banned his churchgoers buying Girl Scout cookies.
Why?
Because Girl Scouts support
Planned Parenthood, same-sex marriage.
Same-sex marriage, transgender rights.
Brilliant. Do they? I didn't know
and
that.
And their parents think
no little riding, no little riding, no little riding down.
Oh God,
no little riding down.
That's all we have time for today. If you're an Irish citizen and it's before 10 p.m. Today, I implore you to go out and vote. Vote Sinn Féin.
That was
get Fine Gael out of government. Thank you and goodbye. Finally on the JL show today, we just want to introduce for you how we're going to end the show, which is with playing back our interview with local general election candidate Niall O'Toole, which Michael and I recorded in his offices last July. Niall speaks in the interview about running the Yes Equality campaign for Galway, why he's running for general election, how he's planning to campaign, some stuff that's out of date, Irish people's attitudes to refugees, stuff like that.
All that stuff. It's all ahead of me.
You've never heard it on the JL show before, so this is brand new for you people who don't listen to 99%. Enjoy!
So, I guess we can go into an interview now. We have a really, we have a really great guest this week.
We do. So, our guest this week is Niall LeTuhel. And Niall is running for general election next year in Michael and I's local constituency here in Galway in Ireland.
Yep.
And, you know, he's quite coming from a unique place because he doesn't currently hold political office in Ireland. He's not in the city council or in the Senate. Right. And that's, I guess, quite unique for somebody running in a general election. But he has loads of experience the last few years. He worked on Stephen Donnelly's campaign. And he was, you know, huge involvement in the Yes Equality campaign here in Galway. So we went to visit him in his new office last week, and we talked to him about starting a political campaign, the current state of politics in Ireland, new political parties like Renew Ireland, the Social Democrats, and their role in the upcoming election, and Yes Equality, and all sorts of fascinating topics. So. Shall we play the interview, Michael?
I think we shall. Here's the interview now with Niall LeTuhel.
So we're here with Niall LeTuhel. Niall LeTuhel is going to be running as a TD in the upcoming election, and you're also kind of a technology entrepreneur now. So I guess to start, it'd be very interesting to hear about your technology company that you have, Mobile Flipboard. Maybe start talking a bit about how that came to be.
Sure, love to, Michael. So I actually don't come from a technology background. I was one of those like 11-year-old kids who coded HTML, and point I wanted to set up my own tech company, but then I ended up going into kind of mathematics and business, and then so I've kind of come full circle back into technology. And so we design software, mobile apps, websites, working with a whole range of clients in Dublin and London and healthcare and news and media. So we kind of bring a design lens to it and also a business lens to it. And we design some really cool software.
That's very interesting. So you said that you didn't come from a technology background. What did you study in college, or was it any way related to technology at all?
A small bit. I did a bit of coding, and so I did a course called Management Science in Trinity. So it's kind of a mix of mathematics, a bit of programming, a bit of business, and like mostly optimization, mathematics, and statistics.
Mm-hmm. How do you find kind of being an entrepreneur in Ireland? How do you find that whole experience? Is it tough? Is there a lot of support there for entrepreneurs and businesses?
I think setting up a business any time is tough. I mean, like what you guys are doing, setting up the podcast is hard. It's hard to get these things off the ground.
Yeah.
You have to keep at it and keep working, and it kind of becomes an all-encompassing kind of passion. So I've been running the business for 2 years. We've had some great clients on board, and it's starting to pay its way. In Ireland, it's pretty good place to set up a business. I mean, there's a few things, particularly around some administrative complexities, that whenever you're kind of a one-man band, it's very hard to get all the paperwork done. And I think it'd be a lot easier if we could take away some of the administrative burdens from first-time entrepreneurs getting things set up. Mm-hmm. But on the whole, it's a great supportive place to do business.
Right. So how does it kind of transition then? Because obviously, about 2 years ago, was it, when you set up Mobile Clipboard? How does it transition into politics? Did you always have kind of an interest there?
I never wanted to be a politician.
Really?
So I've always been very driven by having a positive impact on society and trying to improve like the lives of people around me. And I just kind of always thought that politics was a bit too closed, a bit too dirty, that you couldn't make a difference. And so I went off to work in the private sector. I worked for a company called McKinsey. I just got to do some amazing things there. So, well, like my very first conference call at McKinsey was with Kofi Annan, Desmond Tutu, and Mary Robinson, and we helped them build the Elders, this kind of group of Nobel Peace Prize winners and world statesmen. I did a lot of work in health systems around the world. I did a lot of work building up energy infrastructure, and then I was in Africa. I was living and working in Africa, around the time of the bank guarantee and the bailout, and I just got very frustrated with what was happening. So I knew I had to do something. So I came back to Ireland. I had a friend, Stephen Donnelly, who was thinking of running for the Dáil, and in 5 weeks we took him from no team, no money, no political experience to getting him elected. And so I've been involved ever since, and now I'm very proud to be running here in Galway West.
Your journey to reaching this point of running in the general election is quite unique, in that a lot of candidates would work their way up through the kind of the ladder of local government, which could take a really, you know, a large chunk of their career out of just trying to get up to this point. So do you see it as an advantage as having come here much more kind of rapidly from your start in your political career?
There's advantages and disadvantages. So one of the big challenges of running for the Dáil is that you have to go out and talk to 100,000 voters. And that's a very hard thing to do in a short period of time. And if you just do it by yourself and with a small team, it's impossible. So you have to, if you're going to do it and you're not just going to waste everyone's time, you have to get a team who believe in you, like who believe in what you're fighting for, and you have to get them involved. So we have a team that's coming up close to 100 volunteers now. We'll keep growing that, and soon enough we'll be going out knocking on doors and getting the message out there. And we'll, between now and the election, we'll be talking to as many people as we can, and hopefully that'll be enough to win a seat.
Was your decision to run for general election more influenced by your work on the Stephen Donnelly campaign or in the Yes Equality campaign, which is a lot more recent?
I think both. I mean, so there's a lot of work that needs to be done in the Dáil around investing in our public services, around building communities, around improving our economy, and there's a lot of stuff there that I want to work on, and I want to kind of move us towards a more kind of Nordic model of high quality, accessible public services, strong economy, building our communities. And so all of the, like, that politically is where I am, so I'm kind of like centre-left Nordic model. And the Yes Equality campaign was just a human rights issue that I think, ideally it wouldn't have gone to a referendum. I think it's a very worrying precedent when you have a majority vote for a minority rights issue. And I just had all this experience of running campaigns, and so I wanted to put that to use. And so we ran a great campaign here in Galway. We got 200 volunteers involved. We knocked on 45,000 doors, and we walked enough miles to get to China. I just wanted to make sure that there was no chance we didn't do our part here in Galway to get a good yes vote.
So when you were involved in that campaign and you were talking to that many people in Galway and in, you know, further, did you learn a lot about kind of attitudes of people in our society, be it towards minorities, towards sort of separation of church and state, these kind of issues that you hadn't known about previously?
And I think every time you go out canvassing, it's such an honour to go out and talk to lots of people from all sections of society. Because often when you kind of enclose yourself in your bubble of friends and family, you can kind of think that the whole world thinks like you. And so when you go out and knock on doors at random, like suddenly you find out that lots of people have lots of different views about things, and it's just a great education in the country and how it's feeling and what different people think about different things. So you get a great feeling about what people care about. And I think, I mean, a lot of people cared about like the right of the LGBT community to get married, and lots of people supported that. And it was just a great result. And I'm hoping as well that when we go out and talk to people around investing in our public services and building community and kind of strengthening our economy at the same time, that people will be receptive to that too.
It seemed when the result came out that a much younger demographic than would usually be involved in politics kind of got involved and were enthusiastic about the campaign. And it seems coming up to the general election that all of the major parties and candidates will be trying to kind of capture this voting bloc and get their attention and their enthusiasm. So how are you going to tackle that in your own personal campaign?
Yeah, I mean, the parties are still trying to figure out what exactly happened with the Yes campaign, because it like surprised them how it kind of took off. My own take on it is that it's the first time in a long time that people were so positive about what they were voting for. And I think unless you, the reason why the parties have, the established parties will struggle a bit to engage those guys again, because you need to have a vision for society that people can buy into and want to see happen. And when you're not talking, about where the country is going, what the long-term plans are, it's very hard to engage someone who's young and won't really want to talk too much about the day-to-day, like blocking and tackling of politics. And so I think we have to elevate the level of discussion and talk about what direction our country is going and how we're going to get there.
So I guess there's been, especially since the financial crash, there's been, you know, a lot of distrust in politicians and cynicism even of just about kind of tax paying and about what actually happens with what people's taxes are being spent on if they're going towards public services. So is there a solution to tackling this cynicism amongst the public?
I think there's a lot of, we have to rebuild trust in politics and in our public services, and there have been so many mistakes made in recent history that it's very hard for people to trust politics and politicians. I mean, I certainly don't. I want to see a much higher standard of politics, and I want to get people more involved in public service. And I think until you get good people, there's two ways you can go about this. I mean, one is you can just say they're all the same and that nothing will change and there's no point in getting involved, or you can say I'm going to do something about this, and that's what I want to do. So I want to get involved, not because I want to be a politician, but because I would desperately want to see the politics of Ireland change. And so that's what I'm trying to do to kind of tackle this cynicism.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I guess what's next now for you? I mean, you have obviously the technology company still there. You have this new political career. Have you decided yet what takes kind of priority for you in the future? Because obviously you'll be really busy with this political campaign. Do you continue running your business as well?
Yeah, well, I also have a 2-year-old son
and another one
on the way in October.
Wow.
So I'm hoping that Enda Kenny will give us until next year to run the election.
Sure, sure.
That'll be very helpful.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, like, my family take first precedence.
Yeah, yeah.
But the at the moment I'm very focused on the campaign. So I'm still, my business is still running kind of like in the background, maybe at 10% of what it would be normally. But I don't want to for this not to happen because I didn't give it everything. So between now and the election, I'm going to be giving this like my everything I can to make sure that Galway gets a good representation in the Dáil.
Just to ask you about your opinion on something. So it's both as kind of a result of the recession and something that's topical right now. There's been the news about the Ireland taking in the migrants in the Mediterranean, and I've seen both in the media and online there's been a lot of sort of resentment that tax money is being spent on helping non-nationals that is developing into racism a lot. And you know, I've been kind of shocked by the reaction to this. So how do you feel about tax money that people think is very, very sparse being spent on issues like this?
I think in the grand scheme of things it's quite small in terms of our spend. There's a big misperception around kind of where our money goes to, and people's perceptions of where our tax money goes to is a bit different. So I think like the kind of money we're talking about is quite small. I think we have a moral duty to help people who aren't as like these people who are desperately trying to find a better life for ourselves, in Ireland. We've traveled for generations, and we've relied on the goodwill of people abroad, and I think it'd be terrible of us now that we are in a better position not to give people the same welcome. I think one issue that I care a lot is a deep reform of our asylum seeking, of how asylum seekers are dealt with. This direct provision system I think is very wrong, and especially when you have people in limbo for 10 years. I think through all the things that I've done over the last 10 years and, And if I had to replace all of that with being in a hostel, getting like 19 euros a week to live on, and like not being able to work, not being able to develop yourself, not being able to look after your family properly, I just think that's very wrong and needs to be changed.
So you're running to represent the, you know, the new constituency that includes here in Galway, and how do you think you'd balance when you're elected, how would you balance local issues that affect Galway and national issues that are important to the actual movement of the government on a day-to-day basis?
So I think there are very local issues. So I mean, like, one of the big things that's kind of complained about politicians, like fixing potholes. One of the things I'd like to fix is how all of that is dealt with. So I think we need to improve the, like,
taking the system from the inside.
Yeah, well, I think you need to strengthen the local authorities and the councils to be able to deal with this stuff. And I think you need to get this out of politicians' hands, so that it's just like you don't get preferential treatment just because you went to your politician to get it happen. I mean, we need to boost the capacity of our local authorities to deal with these issues, that politicians just can't make any gains out of it. Now, until that happens, like there are issues, like our public services are at creaking point, and kind of like if there's a role I can play or my team can play to kind of keep all that working, then of course we'll do it. Then so you have local issues as well that are of kind of national relevance. So say, for example, our transport infrastructure in Galway, like Galway's economy needs to work well for Ireland's economy to work well. We don't have, our infrastructure is in quite poor condition, and so that's a national issue that I'd absolutely want to take on. And then one of the main roles as a legislator is to make sure that national legislation is brought through and implemented and so on. I'll be looking very deeply at things around public services, particularly expanding access to childcare, how easy it is to set up a business, how we're funding communities. And not only is that important for to get right nationally, but it'll make a big difference here at home in Galway as well.
The, you know, the left in Ireland has been, in recent years, been dominated by these sort of anti-water, anti-austerity groups who seem to be kind of disorganized, and hence their political progress is limited. How important is it that, you know, well-organized, more traditional political parties on the left are able to become prominent once again?
I mean, obviously the water issue, the water issue has, I mean, Irish water, I try to be very positive about things. Irish water has been a disaster from start to finish. I mean, like in a time of deep economic recession, to spend money on, like, to invest money in almost like €1 billion between water meters and consultants and on getting this company set up, like, was a terrible, terrible decision. It's also unfair in that you're taking a service from progressive taxation to a flat rate, where it doesn't matter anymore whether you earn like 200,000 or 20,000, you pay more or less the same. So that's like, not only it was a bad investment, and it was unfair. So I mean, it's very understandable. I mean, like, everyone's angry about it. I'm angry about it. And just, we need to put a big pause on this and see what, like go back to the drawing board and see how we can salvage the situation, because it's been a disaster. I think in terms of my own politics, I'm kind of I'm center left, like Nordic model. I think that there should be a good grouping, or like the emergence of new forces in Irish politics, that will be well organised, that will be competent on the economy, that will have a much more positive, progressive social vision, and I'd like to be part of that movement.
And in terms of the system of what the next government is going to be after the next general election, how big a role in the next government do you think that both independent candidates and the new emerging parties, which there are several of on both sides, on the left and the right, how big a role will they play, and do you think they're going to expand in their popularity a great deal following that term of government?
I think it's anyone's guess at the moment. So, I mean, I could give you an opinion, but it's a guess like everyone else's. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, I'd like to see a big centre-left party come out, and I'd prefer not to be running as an independent. I think that politics is done best in teams, especially if you want to be there making the tough decisions. And so I'd like to see a big new centre-left party come out and play a big role in maybe not this government, but in future governments to come.
I guess. Thanks for talking to us, and good luck in your time.
Yeah, thanks very much.